we now know there had been many floods in ancient Iraq. That's the nature of the country and of its river valley. But he very wisely focused on this idea of a great flood and universal flood. But what did this remind people of? Naturally, Noah's flood in the Hebrew Bible. Tell us more, they said. And he did. He got more money for excavations, and he told them more. Now today, 70 or so years after these excavations, we know that this is not exactly so. There aren't uniform flood layers. It isn't a sign of a universal flood. But it worked at the time, right? It generated a lot of interest. The Bible in this period, the period I'm speaking of, is the late 19th, early 20th century, into the 20s and the 30s when Woolley was working. The Bible was still a basic foundational element in Western culture. Educated Europeans and Americans knew of Mesopotamia because of the Bible. I recall once hearing that in the 19th century, Mesopotamia was considered a religious word. It was uttered with reverence because it evoked the world of biblical history. We've been focusing on Mesopotamia for the past few minutes. What, you may ask, of Egypt? Wasn't there great interest in Egypt and excavation there? Yes. And there, actually, the biblical connection is less important in generating public funding and interest. Witness the reaction to the discovery in the 1920s of 1923, more precisely, of the tomb of King Tut, Tutankhamun, in Egypt. A kind of Tut mania took over the world. Everyone wanted to read about, know about, and emulate the decorations of King Tut. And this is part of what we in Near Eastern studies call Egyptomania, something that seems to grip the West every few years, especially museum goers. They need their fill of some great exhibit from ancient Egypt. So ancient Egypt in the West seems to have an inherent interest that is not necessarily connected to the biblical. We have this idea of mysterious Egypt, don't we? There's something mystical, magical about ancient Egypt. There is something very attractive about ancient Egypt, but the more one knows about it, one realizes that it was not exactly magical and mystical. It was eminently practical. But this doesn't stop people from being attracted to it. So let us look a little closer at this differing interest in the West, the difference between the interest in Mesopotamian societies and the interest in Egypt. The West had always known of Egypt. Travelers to Egypt could see the ruins of a great civilization, and in their home cities, museum goers could see its artifacts. There were Egyptian obelisks in many European cities, and there were copies of Egyptian obelisks and monuments in the shape of an obelisk in many American cities. In fact, there's a real Egyptian obelisk in Central Park in New York City. So Egyptomania has been with us for a very long time. Hieroglyphs were an object of fascination to many people. This has been true since the Renaissance. And in the Renaissance, there were attempts to decipher hieroglyphs. These attempts were dead wrong. They didn't understand what they were. They took them to be some kind of mystical sign. But that's not really important. What's important for cultural history is that the interest in Egypt stayed with us. It never went away. Let's contrast that with Mesopotamia. The only connection to Mesopotamia for most people in Europe and in the United States was the Bible. Yes, travelers to Iraq might ask where things were. Where was Babylon? But that was because of Babylon of the Bible. Mesopotamia had ruins. The ancient Mesopotamians, the Sumerians, the Akkadians, the Babylonians, the Assyrians, didn't build pyramids. They didn't build great stone monuments. So there were no great remains for travelers to wax romantic over. And in fact, Babylon and Mesopotamia had a negative connotation for many people because the Bible speaks negatively of Babylon. Babylon is a symbol of depravity. We know of the phrase, the whore of Babylon. Babylon, for many contemporary groups, still signifies an evil empire, a corrupt rule,